All right, let me apologize for this morning. I understand I went a little long, so I made that clear from all of those that I talked to earlier. So I was told before I had 15 minutes left on this disc, so I'm going to have to really hurry through this. Isaiah chapter 37. Put your seatbelts on. We're not really going to go that fast. When we left our last lesson, we saw that the Rabshakeh from Assyria, Sennacherib's messenger, had delivered a message to Hezekiah and the people of Israel. And it was important for them to make a decision. The Rabshakeh had told them that, you know, they needed to just bow down to the king of Assyria and let him bless them with all the things that he could. He talked about how great their life would be, how much better their homes would be, and how much more they would have, and not to listen to God because he was not going to be able to defeat the king of Assyria. So that's what we were dealing with at the time. Now, Hezekiah will get this message, and he will tear his clothes. He will really mourn the fact of, here we are. And we looked at some choices that we needed to make. Are we going to trust God, or are we going to turn to man? And we know that over a period of time, the people of Israel had turned to different nations to try to find the guides or the help that they would need to overcome certain foes, and they would fail every time. And that's kind of what the Rabshakeh was telling here, was, you know, you turn to Egypt, and Egypt is already defeated. They're nothing anymore. We have taken care of them. So this message has been delivered. And now the three messengers come back to Hezekiah. And they give these words to Hezekiah as he continues to wonder what they're going to do and how they're going to go about doing that. And the one great thing about Hezekiah is he makes a good choice. He makes a good decision. I want to read the first few verses here of chapter 37. We're not going to read all this chapter. We're going to look at a few verses here as we go through this. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "And so it was when King Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said to him, 'Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left.' So the servants of the king of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, 'Thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land.'" So, the Rabshakeh has delivered this. Hezekiah sends his messengers to Isaiah, and Isaiah says, "Look, you don't have a thing to worry about. God is going to take care of this. He's going to put a rumor out there. This king of Assyria, the one who's making all these threats against you, is going to go back and he's going to go fight someone else." So remember that as we think about this lesson this morning. The title of this is Praying in a Disaster. Now, you and I know that many times when we see a disaster in this nation, what's the first thing that happens? People turn to prayer, right? At least for a week or so. And it's something that they really, they're frightened. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what else to do. So they decide the last thing they can do is pray to God. So that's what they do. And again, that lasts for a little while until the threat goes away. And then they begin to slowly trickle back into the same things that they were doing before. Praying in a disaster. It's something that we need to really pay close attention to and understand what it really means. When we think about this, I want to bring some thoughts into this before we look at the verses that we're going to tonight. First of all, we need to pray with appreciation of what God knows. When they went to Isaiah, God already knew what was going on. God already knew what was taking place. And that's kind of what he told him here. Look, you don't have to worry about this because God is already working his plan. So trust in him and believe in him. God knows all about our struggles, doesn't he? He even knows that before we tell him about it in prayers, before we ever offer anything to God. He knows that according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. So as children of God today, what we need to realize is that God already knows our needs. And when we go to him, let us recognize who he is. Let us, again, appreciate what he already knows. And let us go to him with great encouragement, great hope, and great trust in what he can do. When a committee approached, again, the prophet said that God had already spoken to him about what was going to happen. So when we think about these things, again, realize God looks out for his own. So we need to pray with confidence in God's faithfulness. Okay, God will protect his own. He will do that because he loves us. He had encircled Jerusalem here with his almighty arms. He reached out. He was there protecting them. And this is one of the things that they needed to understand and one of the messages that they needed to take back to Hezekiah. Hezekiah made the right choice. Go and have the prophet pray to God that he will help us to overcome these things. When the tragedy came to an end, not even an arrow, and this is what we need to think about as we go through this lesson tonight, not even an arrow had been shot by the Assyrians. Not one. And remember, the Rabshakeh stood out before them and he told them, your God cannot protect you. And boy, are we going to see a difference in what they had done. God had faithfully kept his promise to protect his city. There in verse 36 and 37. And I will go over this just a little bit more later on. Let me read these verses to you real quick. Then the angel of the Lord went out and killed, or he struck in the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. Do you think that the king of Assyria might have realized we made the wrong choice? And I think he's about to realize that. 185,000. He goes on to say, and when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead, laying in the camp. Wow, can you imagine what sight that must have been? The greatest army at the time, 185,000 of them lay dead in the camp. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. And the good thing about this is, well, I guess what really happened was that his sons killed him. And they take over Assyria. But the thing about it is, we need to trust in God. We need to have confidence in God that he is faithful in what he says he will do. And that's what he was trying to get through to the people of Israel here, the children, his children, was that they needed to keep their confidence strong in him. Make the choice to follow God. Then we need to pray with surrender to God's will. Because what Isaiah had told them, they needed to stay true to. All right? Isaiah, Hezekiah, and the people were unsure what God was going to do next. They had gone to Isaiah. They had prayed this. They didn't know what the next step was. But the thing about it was, when God did act, they saw what his will was. It was the best. It was the greatest. It was exactly what they needed. So prayer is not so much asking God to do for us what we want him to do, like a lot of people will do. God, here's what I want. Here's what I want you to do. And I expect you to answer. That's the way a lot of people are. But that's not how we need to be. No, it's asking that his holy, his righteous, and his perfect will be done in our lives. Wow, are we ready for that one? Are we ready to go to God? And are we ready to say things like, God, I'm opening up to you. I'm allowing you to help me do your will. Do you know what it is? Isaiah and Hezekiah and all the people, they didn't know yet. They didn't know what was going to happen, but their prayer was, Lord, protect us. Help us. Surround us with your arms. Do your will. Now, if we can do that in our lives, I believe without a doubt, you and I will see things that in a way that we may have never seen them before. We don't know what God is going to do next, do we? We don't know what's coming up in our lives. But do you realize that if we will put ourselves under the will of God, it will be the best decision we will ever make. So let us pray to surrender to His will and to follow that in all that we do. Then we need to pray with the consciousness of God's almighty power. The strongest army cannot. There is no way they can defeat God, not in one single battle. You do realize that when these nations defeat the people of Israel, when these nations take them captive, it is because God has allowed it to happen. They did not defeat God. No matter what they thought, no matter what they saw, they did not defeat God one single time. The Assyrians ruled the world at this time, as did Egypt, as will, well, several nations throughout history. They ruled the world. Jerusalem was surrounded by the mightiest power, and I quoted this on purpose, on earth. Okay? There is a big difference between the greatest power on earth and the greatest power. And if our world today would recognize that, we might not have the problems that we have. We might see people, we might see kings, we might see presidents on their knees bowing to God to seek His will. Wow, wouldn't that be something? What would our nation be like today if we recognized that God has almighty power? Not us, not any other nation, not a king, nothing. God has the almighty power. Now, even though they had that power in these verses that we read, the next day, hey, they packed up and they went home. They didn't just go home. They were demoralized. They were completely defeated. And isn't it amazing? Not one of the Israelites went to battle with them. Do you believe today God can win the battle? Do you believe He can win the war? Do you believe He already has? Because that's where I am. I believe it's already won. We need to follow the right one. We need to follow the true King. We need to make sure that we know who has the almighty power. It's not our government. It's not our army. It's not anything else. We cannot defeat God in one single battle because we don't have that power. As I said before, the wave of death that went through this camp, it was just entirely too much for them to handle. Again, 185,000 soldiers lay dead in that camp. How could that happen? Well, we know the answer to that. We read it. We know how God worked. Now, the great thing about it is God can do anything He chooses to do. Brethren, today, we need to surrender our souls to the will of God. We need to see that through Him, we will find the greatest warrior, if you want to use it that way, the one who can defeat anyone in this world, the one who can defeat the whole world. And let me tell you why. With a brief breath from His mouth, He can blow away the greatest deeds of man. And you know what? It's not even a breath. I mean, all He has to do is just begin. We're done. You want power? God has that almighty power. The Assyrians, they needed to recognize this. Sennacherib, he wasn't anything. He was nothing compared to the power of God. But you know the problem is, you know how we humans are. We get a little bit of power under our belt. We begin to think, hey, I can do whatever I want to do. You know the answer to that? I always think of this, as long as God allows you. You like that kind of power? I can do whatever I want until God decides you can't. So wouldn't it be greater if we just followed the will of God to begin with? And not have to learn that lesson the hard way? Oh, but too many times, over and over again, we have to recognize the power that God has. Then we need to pray with His glory in mind. What is it that we want to do? What is it that we want to get out of our life today? Is it not bringing glory to God in all we do? I believe that's what it ought to be. Because Hezekiah prayed for God's glory to be made known to the world before he prayed for his nation's needs. Look at verse 20 of Isaiah chapter 37. Where he says, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone." You know, there's so many opportunities throughout the Old Testament for these people to look back and say, you know what? Your God is the only one. Nebuchadnezzar, and this one just always comes to mind because, you know, when he saw the power that God had, he commanded that the people of Nineveh bow down to God. And remember what the Ninevites were like? They did not like anybody and they would tear you apart in a second. But he commanded them to bow down to God because he recognized the power that God had. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar would walk out on his balcony one night and look out and say, "Man, look how good I am and look at what I've done." And you know what he got to do next? He got to eat a lot of grass, didn't he? How much power do you have there, Nebuchadnezzar? As much as God's going to allow you to have. If you would have recognized, if you would have stayed with your thought before, you would not have had to find that out the hard way. So Hezekiah, he will take the note that the Rabshakeh brings to him. And again, this Rabshakeh must have thought he was really something else because he comes back again and he says, "Oh, do not let Hezekiah trick you into believing that your God can actually save you." Because, man, we could go back and we can look at all the things that we've done. We could put before you all the proof that we need to put before you. Only problem was, they were not fighting against the God. They looked at these stone and wooden images as a God. Yeah, it wasn't very hard to defeat. Any one of us in here today could have defeated any of those little gods that they look at. But they had not thought about the one. Hezekiah knew where he needed to go. And he put his trust in God and brought the glory to God. So as the believer lives for God's glory, God, oh, think about this, God becomes responsible for his life and his destiny. Don't you want God to be responsible for your life? I do. Because I know how I can mess mine up. I know how I can destroy my life. I would rather have God leading me, guiding me, putting me in the right direction, and letting me walk that way. Isaiah, Hezekiah, the people of Jerusalem, they prayed with an awareness of who God is. They recognized the power that God had. They did this with confidence in His faithfulness. They did this with recognition of His power. And they did this with ambition for His glory. They wanted to please God. They wanted Him to protect them. God, how did He respond? Well, He responded with one of the greatest deliverances of the Old Testament. Now, do you look at it that way? Because I sit back and I think about all the times that God had saved His people from the problems that they were in. In Egypt, He had to deliver them, didn't He? He sure did. And we look at all the things in the New Testament that come about. Does this one come across as one of the greatest for you? One night, 185,000. The king packs up, goes home. Not one arrow was shot. Remember that? Not one arrow. God had defeated them before they ever even started. When we put ourselves in God's hands, when we yield to Him in obedient faith, God brings about His victory through us. You want to be a winner tonight? You want to be victorious tonight? Then what we need to do is realize who we truly belong to in this world. Let me end this tonight by this. God gives the victory. God gives the victory. Any nation who wins is because God allows it. Give Him the glory. Wouldn't it be something if one of these nations that defeated someone else would look back and they would actually stand up and say, "Well, we thank God because He's the one that allowed us to do this." But how many times do you hear that? "Oh, no, you know, we're the greatest in the world and we'll defeat anybody that comes along and there's not anybody who can stand up to us." You really want to try that one? We need to wake up today in America. We need to wake up today in our world. We need to recognize that there is one almighty power and only one. It's our God who's in heaven. And the sooner we learn that, the sooner that we recognize the will of God, the sooner that we recognize the glory belongs to Him, the sooner we'll realize where we really need to be. Serving God, the greatest that there is, the greatest that there ever was, and the greatest there ever will be. Does that sound like someone to you? Yeah, I think he was a boxer at one time, wasn't he? Where is he today? You know, it's amazing how this human body will not stand up to all the things that we think it can. Now, time has a way of making us realize who is the greatest in our life. Tonight, where do we put our hope? What do we think the victory is really going to be? If our thought, if our heart, if our mind is on anything other than God, then brethren, we need to be praying. Prayer in the time of disaster. We may not be far from that. We see a lot of things happening in our world today. A lot of things we don't have an answer for. Well, why did this happen here? Why did that happen there? I don't know, but we better open our eyes. Because God is victorious. The glory will be His. Do you want to be on His side? If you're not a child of God tonight. And what I mean by that is if you've not surrendered completely to God by being obedient to His Word, by accepting what He said, by following exactly what we need to do, by repenting, confessing, being baptized, and living a faithful life, then brethren, we're fighting against the will of God. We will not win. But there is one thing that we can do today. We can accept what God's Word says. We can follow it completely and know without a doubt that's exactly what we must do. That we can walk this life following the path that God has led us, laid before us, given us the map to follow. And we can be pleasing to Him in all that we do. But sometimes we get off of that road. Sometimes we throw down the map. Sometimes we try to do it on our own. We will find out one day that's not the right way to go. So why should we wait? The opportunity is here. If you feel a need that you need to respond tonight, you need to ask God for forgiveness, this is the greatest time. Don't play with your soul. Recognize where you can be saved. Recognize the power that can do it. And know that only through being in Christ can we have that hope of eternal life. So tonight as we stand and sing an invitation song, if you have a need, if we can help, if we can assist, if we can pray for you, whatever we can do, let us do that together. Let us reach out to one another and let us find that strength together and stay under the will of God and please Him in all we do. So as we stand tonight, if you have a need, let us know as we stand and sing.